Well, hello. It's lovely to be with you again. I hope you're all well. As we're recording this, there's snow on the ground outside, so I hope whatever you're doing, you're all wrapped up nice and warm. Today's talk is called Ice Front, and it's called Ice Front for a very simple reason: that the direction of our gaze matters. Have you ever seen a Mr. Bean where, he's looking to the side or something and he walks along and slap into a wall or a tree or something? And, this is what I want to look at today. The reason that we need to keep our focus and we need to keep looking in the right direction if we're going to produce the fruit that the Lord wants us to produce. I'm really pleased that last week Nick talked about fruit, because this talk that I'm going to do today, I think, dovetails really quite nicely into where he left off. So I want us to look at three things today to do with keeping our focus and keeping our eyes on the prize and our eyes where they need to be. The first thing that I want us to look at is that we have an enemy, and he will do all that he can to keep our eyes any direction but in front. He will get us to look back or to the side or just any sort of chaos. So I want us to really unpack that point. And then I want us to look at the reality that when we are moving forward, we are in a constant state of change, and we're in that for a reason. It's a good thing. And then thirdly, I want us to really consider what fruit we will produce, and really look at that with a kind of dynamic of keeping our eyes on the fruit, and on what God has called us to do. So I hope that's okay with you, and I really hope you get something out of the talk today. So where you look is what you're going to see. And the devil really wants us to, just to look in the wrong direction. He wants to keep our eyes off the very thing that God wants us to do. This talk has really been born of something that happened to me recently, where the devil very subtly got me to take my eyes off what God has called me to do, and to put them on myself. And what that did was it actually caused me a lot of self-doubt, anxiety. It caused me to really wobble and to be feeling really kind of vulnerable in a really unhealthy way that made me want to shrink back from the very thing that I know God has called me to do. And what the devil does is he gets you to take your eyes off through, getting them on yourself. And so when you are kind of wallowing in where you're at in yourself, your eyes aren't in faith. They're not where you need them to be. So we have an enemy, and he's out to do this. He's out to hijack our vision, because if he can hijack where your eyes are at, if he can hijack your vision, he can hijack your fruit. So how does he do that? Well, you know what? The enemy is the father of lies, very simply, and he sows misinformation. I'm so aware at the minute with this whole COVID thing that there's lots of conspiracy theories and lots of misinformation that's actually very, very damaging to people, because they're believing it, and it's really unhelpful. So he really comes in through different misinformation and different feelings that are really unhelpful. I call them the dis things. So they are the discouragement, the disillusionment, maybe the despair. And you start to have these feelings or these thoughts of the disses, yeah, and they start to take you off track to where your eyes need to be. And this is different for all of us. Ask yourself, what comes up for you in this? What makes you feel like a loser? What makes you feel that you really start to shrink on the inside of who you are, and the very thing that you know you want to be doing in faith, or you really need to be doing if you're going to grow, just feels overwhelming to you? You know, maybe it's like memories from the past that you feel you're disqualified for, or maybe it's, you know, doubt. Sometimes it can be, you know, comparison. We can compare to, you know, to what somebody else is doing, or the fruit that they have, or to the road that they're journeying, and it can be really, really distracting because we either feel, you know, like we're just not good enough when we're not measuring up to them. Or maybe, and this is really common, self-pity. You know, if you're wallowing in self-pity, your eyes aren't on the prize, they're on yourself. Church, you know, don't see these things as a bad thing, because it's out of your muck that your message comes. It's out of the challenges and these things that we wrestle with, that is where the authentic reality of walking this thing called faith out comes from. You know what? Your enemy is out to taunt you because he's actually scared of your future. So I want to encourage you today to keep your eyes on what you know God has told you to do, and don't allow your past or self-pity or feelings of discouragement to take you off track. Because you know what, church? Who you were isn't who you are today, and actually who you are today isn't who you're going to be 5 years from now. If you want to keep your focus, I would encourage you to look in God's word, because it just gives us a wonderful, wonderful promise in Isaiah 52 verse 12. And that is, "For you won't go out in haste, nor will you go out in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. He is called God of all the earth." So church, I would really encourage you to just take that promise. You know, he's gone before you. He's got the past covered. And he's God of all the earth. So what are you waiting for? Don't worry. Don't be discouraged. God is with you. It can be tempting in these times to feel, when you're challenged, that it's just kind of, that it's maybe the wrong thing that you're doing. I would encourage you to actually take challenge as a sense of preparation for your purpose. You know, challenge is actually good for us, so don't fear it, because it's in challenge that we grow and we get strong, and you know, the character of our substance comes through, and actually it's from our character that our fruit will either come and grow or not. So our character is very important. But you know what? God's word is so wonderful, and it tells us in John 14 verse 16. Jesus said this, "I have chosen you. I have called you, I have appointed you to go and bear fruit." And it's not just fruit that will be here 1 minute and gone the next. It's to bear fruit that will last. Church, if you're struggling, know, you know, God is positioning you in the struggle for success. He is always there for your success. It's interesting to note that sometimes our struggles are the very things that are preparing us for the next step up or the next level that God wants to take us to. When we think of David, for example, he, you know, had to fight bears and wolves as a shepherd boy, but actually that was training him. It was preparing him. It was positioning him to take Goliath on with great success. And in that story, it's interesting to note that the very thing that Goliath was taunting David with, the sword, was the very thing that David used against Goliath to dispatch him. You know, church, what is coming against you? What can you just declare in the Lord? You're going to take that out of the hand of your enemy and just cut off anything ungodly with it. You know, David, he had to take some steps of faith. And when you are feeling full of self-doubt, when you're feeling full of, you know, an inferiority complex, when you're feeling maybe just disillusioned or you just can't see a way ahead, I would encourage you, it's through taking little steps of faith that your whole kind of vision starts to come back again. Church, we are created to take steps of faith. We're created to move, not stay static. And you know, I want to encourage you that God is able, you know, in that scripture that I read from Isaiah, to go before and behind, to be around you. So if you're going somewhere, or you're trying to bear fruit, or you're doing something, and you're not quite in the right, you know, path, God will direct your steps. He will position you, but at least be moving. Don't allow the devil to freeze frame you. Don't allow him to blind your vision and stop you in your tracks. Because there is one who is for you, and it is greater than anything that can come against you. So we've got an enemy. He wants to take our eyes off the prize. Don't let him. And in challenge, the wonderful thing is that we can change, and we're meant to change. We're meant to change as we walk this thing called life out. And you know, our eyes are on the front of our head for a reason, because we're meant to go forwards. We are meant to move. We're meant to change. We need to embrace this reality. Change is simply part of life. You know, we have a lovely little new grandson, and he's 7 weeks old now. And even from, you know, when he was like day one, he has changed. His little cheeks have got chubby, and he's alert, you know, with his vision, and he's changing. You know, we are always in a state of change. So I would encourage you to embrace the change. You know, somebody once said survival of the fittest. I think it was Darwin, but it isn't actually that. It's survival of the adaptable. God needs us to work with him in the change process. We need to be willing to change. We need to be like malleable clay in his hand and say, okay, Lord, this is challenging and I don't particularly like it, but I'm willing to work with you in my process of change. You see, church, it's actually in changing that we have hope. You know, wouldn't we be just so desolate if we did not change? You see, church, if there's something in your life that you don't like, you have the power to change it. 9 times out of 10. If there's something about your personality, if there's something about, you know, a dynamic that you don't like, you have the power to change. We can embrace self-growth. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And you know what? The Lord is there cheerleading you as you grow and as you develop in your personhood. We're designed to be productive. We're designed to find purpose and meaning and be fulfilled in the work of our hands, in this development as we do this thing called life. It tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are God's own handiwork, recreated in Christ Jesus, that we may do those good works which the Lord has predestined for us to do from the beginning of time. Guys, there's works for us to do that God has predestined for us. We are meant to be productive. But here's the thing, it's up to us to take some responsibility for our change process. Ask yourself, are there areas of my life that I need to change? Maybe there's some habits I need to change. Maybe some attitudes that I need to change. They're not serving me well. I love this expression that Joyce Myers comes out with, and she says, you know, too many of us, we want a backbone, but instead we've got a wishbone. You know, church, we sometimes need to get determined with ourselves. We sometimes need to really get self-disciplined with ourselves and know that in that change process, God is in that with you, and he's all about process. Can I really encourage you to be open to change what's not working in your life? You know, we can find ourselves going round and round and round in the same old patterns and wonder why we're miserable. Church, we're all just passing through. Let's not waste the time that we have. Beloved, if you've a past, forget about it. Keep your eyes on what God is doing in your life at this time. You know, you may not know where you're going to be in 5 years, but you may know where you're going to be or hope to be in 6 months or a year from now. Keep your eyes front. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. We have a purpose. Are you distracted? Are you looking at the problems and not your purpose? Can you embrace change and can you trust God? And finally, my third point is bearing fruit. You know, if you're not tending to what's going on, you won't see. You know, so if you're just so distracted, and you know, have you ever been like sitting? Sometimes I read a book and then I realize I've read through a paragraph, but my mind's been so preoccupied with something else that I've totally missed what I'm reading. So we can be really preoccupied with stuff. And so that takes our eyes off the fruit that God wants us to produce. And we can think, oh my goodness, you know, what is this fruit? And it can all seem very mysterious. And, you know, whether you call it your fruit or your calling or, you know, whatever jargon you want to give it, it isn't really that mysterious. I remember when we moved here at first, I was told there's a great call on your life and all this here sort of stuff. And I ran myself ragged to a point that was ungodly. I neglected my family and I was a people pleaser and was just so busy trying to be productive for the Lord that it actually wasn't helpful. And my eyes were anywhere but on God and where they really needed to be. If only I had listened to what it says in Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your steps. In all your ways. Not some of them. In all your ways. You see, so often we can get caught up and just be so preoccupied that we forget just to trust in the Lord, do good, enjoy our God, and get on with living life. You see, I want to encourage you today, church, just to relax in the growth process, because that's exactly what it is. And growth takes time, and we can be in our microwave mentality wanting instant results, and it just doesn't work like that. Fruit takes time. It takes time to develop your character. It takes time to develop a direction. You know, it takes time. If you think about the average career, takes 10 years to get established. And yet, sometimes we want fruit in an instant. You know, fruit comes from the unseen places. If you think about the roots of a plant, that all the stuff that's going on that's feeding that plant is happening in the unseen. And it's from the unseen places that this fruit will grow. What's happening in the unseen areas of your life? Church, I want to give you 5 keys just to help to keep you focused and help to keep your eyes front and help to keep this idea of, you know what, we can be productive and we can work with God and it is dynamic and it is exciting. But I want to give you 5 keys to help you to do this today. Firstly, live with God in your moments. You just get eternity into your daily grind. You know, because when you are so preoccupied, you just don't see what's right in front of you. So when you're doing that and you've got God in the daily grind of life or in the moments of your life, it really focuses and helps you to keep your eyes where they need to be. Secondly, really, really important, don't separate the spiritual and the secular. They are enmeshed in your life. They are part of you. You are mind, body and spirit. You are completely enmeshed. So don't try and compartmentalize church for a Sunday or, you know, Bible reading, or it's all part of the same thing. So like washing the dishes is as much an act of worship with the right attitude as doing a talk like this. It's not really about the secular and the spiritual. They're both one and the same thing. So don't separate them. Thirdly, get into the right soil. What are you feeding yourself with? Are you around people who will inspire you and love you enough to challenge you and really encourage your spiritual growth? And are you doing that for yourself? But what are you putting into your roots? Are you going to get as much out of the mess you're in? Are you going to determine yourself to bear some fruit from this? Fourthly, prune what is unproductive in your life. We've all got them. We've all got things in our life. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's self-pity. And you know it's not productive. Prune it off. You know, maybe it's a bad habit, you know, that's keeping you going round and round and round and feeling shame-filled or feeling depleted in some way. Prune it off from your life. Maybe it's an activity like, I don't know, social media or something. Whatever is not productive in your life, just get rid of it and replace it with something productive that makes you feel alive and makes you feel fulfilled. And fifthly, and this is just so simple, but do whatever it is in your hand at this moment in time with an attitude just to bring glory to God. You know, if you're going to pick up the kids, do it with an attitude to bring glory to God. If you're writing an essay, do it to bring glory to God. If you're, you know, cleaning the bathroom, whatever it is within your hand to do, do it with an attitude that, you know, whatever this is, I'm going to bring glory to God. You may be sitting there today and think, well, I just really don't know what my fruit is, and sort of trying to look everywhere for this fruit. I want to give you some pointers to help keep your focus and keep your eyes front for that too. First question I would ask you is, what's kind of staring you straight in the face? What do other people say you're good at? People used to say, Ruth, you can sing, you have a lovely voice. And I used to think, but everybody can sing. Everybody's got a lovely voice, until actually I found out, well, no, they can't. And very often your gifting, you will overlook and you will think, doesn't everybody do this? You might think everybody's good at administration. You might think, you know, everybody's creative. Or you might think, well, everybody's really good at cooking, or everybody's really good at DIY, aren't they? You know, you might think, well, managing money, isn't that something everybody's good at? Interestingly, since I broke my ankle, my husband Nam, he's been doing all the shopping, and our grocery bill, weekly grocery bill, has halved. So you can tell who's the good one at managing money in our house. But what has God placed in you? I want to leave you with a speech by Martin Luther King Jr. And we use this in the Shine course, but I think it's really relevant here. It was to Barrett Junior High in Philadelphia, October 26th, 1967. And it goes like this. I want to ask you, what is your life's blueprint? Whenever a building is constructed, you usually have an architect who draws a blueprint, and that blueprint serves as the pattern, as the guide. And the building is not well erected without this good and solid blueprint. Now, each one of you is in the process of building the structure of your lives. And the question is whether you have a good and solid blueprint. I want to suggest you some of the things that you should have in your life's blueprint. Number one in your blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth and your own somebodiness. Don't allow anybody to make you feel like a nobody. Always feel that you count, and always feel that your life has significance. Secondly, in your life's blueprint, you must have as the basic principle the determination to achieve excellence in all your various fields of endeavour. You're going to be deciding in the days to come what you will do with your life. Whatever your life's work, set out to do it well. And thirdly, when you discover what this is, set out to do it as if the Lord God Almighty called you at this particular moment in history to do it. Don't just set out to do a good job. Set out to do such a good job that the living, the dead, the unborn couldn't do it any better. If it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep the streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep the streets like Beethoven composed music. Sweep the streets like Shakespeare created poetry. Sweep the streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, "There lived a great sweet sweeper who swept his street well." If you can't be a pine at the top of a hill, be a shrub in the valley, but be the best shrub there. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, be a trail. For it isn't by size or by might that you will leave your mark, but by being the best you that you are. Beloved, I want to encourage you today to keep your eyes front. Don't get distracted. Embrace this change process that is life. Work with God and trust Him. Use those 5 points I gave you to grow your fruit so that you can feel that sense of fulfillment. And whatever it is in your hand to do, just do it to the glory of God. Bless you guys. Thank you for listening. I hope you've got something out of that. It's going to be a wee while that I'll be preaching because I've got some studying coming up. But hopefully after that, you'll see me back on the rota again. Bless you guys. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.